The law is not in effect yet, but Oregon's legislature recently passed a bill banning the M44. If it doesn't sound familiar by that name, then try this one, cyanide bomb. An M44 is not technically a bomb, but it does lie in the ground, kind of like a landmine, and delivers a load of deadly cyanide poison to an animal that approaches. It's meant to take out predators, but does not discriminate. Any animal that approaches an M44 can get a dose of cyanide, and that has happened. Brooks Fahey is the executive director of Predator Defense based in Eugene, which has fought for a long time for bans at both state and federal level. He's our guest in this portion of the Jefferson Exchange. Hi, Brooks.
Hi, Jeff.
Good to have you here. How long have the M44 devices existed?
Well, they actually go back. There was a predecessor to the M44 called a coyote getter, and that goes back into the 1940s. And then in 1972, they were actually banned under an executive order under Richard Nixon, the first EPA director, William Ruckelshaus. But unfortunately, in the mid-80s, 1985, they were brought back under the Reagan administration, and there was a little bit of a new, different version. Instead of them being fired with a powder charge, they were spring-activated. So they've been around for quite a while.
And so how do they work? Can you give us a bit of a rundown on the operational stuff in an M44?
Yeah, it's actually a rather inconspicuous-looking device. It's a metal shaft around a foot long. There's several components to it, but they're essentially put in the ground, and the top of the shaft has a hole in it that a sodium cyanide capsule is placed into, and then that's covered with a fine layer of beeswax. And then around the very top, around where that capsule is, it's wrapped with an absorbent tape, like a Coban tape, a vet rat tape. And then they smear an attracticant on it, a smelly bait that attracts wild canids. And the idea is that it'll draw a coyote, fox, whatever, in, and then the animal will reach down on top of it and try to pull it up out of the ground. And that's when it ejects the sodium cyanide powder up into the air. It can actually eject 5 feet into the air. Again, the idea is that the animal pulls on it, it gets a load of sodium cyanide in its mouth, and then dies.
So there has to be some physical contact, some tugging on the thing that activates the spring?
Yes, but there's actually, with humans, there's been incidents where people have just touched them, and they're very sensitive, and where they've just gone off. And so they're designed to where there needs to be some upward pressure, but that always hasn't been the case.
So you're 5 feet in the air. There's what, a spray, a cloud of cyanide gas or something?
Yeah. Again, the idea is that the particles, it's a fine powdery particle material that once it reaches any type of saliva, mucous membrane, your eyes, your nostrils, and ideally what they're targeting for is the mouth, then it turns into the noxious sodium cyanide gas. And then it's only a matter of minutes, theoretically, before the animal dies. But again, history shows that certainly hasn't been the case over a long period of time. We've had cases with people's dogs where it's taken 8 hours for a dog to die from the poisoning. And then, of course, human poisonings where people have had ill health effects for years after the immediate exposure.
And I have a couple of cases to ask about, but I want to get to some of the specifics on the device itself. Does the name M44 imply there were 43 versions before this one?
No. You know, I forget, actually. I think that was a registration code that they used originally, but I'm not certain about that. But again, what we refer to them as are cyanide bombs, because they actually meet the definition of bomb, even though there's not a loud explosion. And so, again, the original name, I'm not quite certain about that.
So, Brooks, where are these M44 cyanide bombs generally used?
They're used all over, public and private lands. We've documented both. And in Oregon, they're used in counties where Wildlife Services, the only agency within Oregon that is allowed to use them, is the USDA Wildlife Services Program. And they've got contracts with approximately 20, 22 counties in the state of Oregon. And within those counties, they're used both on private and public lands, actually with the exception of Jackson County. Jackson County several years ago when it signed a contract with Wildlife Services, it was basically stipulated that they didn't want M44s in the county.
Is that rare that a county will specify that thing in a contract with Wildlife
it's
Services?
It's the first time I've ever heard of it. And a lot of it had to do with the work that we've been doing and making people aware of how indiscriminate and dangerous M44s are, cyanide bombs are.
Brooks Fahey is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Executive Director of Predator Defense based in Eugene. We're talking about the M44 cyanide bombs. The Oregon legislature passed a law and the governor signed it 2 weeks ago. It goes into effect next year. So you can join the conversation on the exchange about the cyanide bombs and their uses or misuses. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Take us a little bit down the trail of Wildlife Services, because this is a federal agency and it's generally often taking wildlife out of situations where there are confrontations with people and livestock?
Theoretically, historically, this is an agency that's been around since the 20s, and it's gone through a lot of different name changes. Formerly, up through the 80s, it used to be called Animal Damage Control, but they didn't like the name of that because it was pretty descriptive. And so in the early to mid-90s, they changed their name to Wildlife Services, which is much, much more euphemistic and confusing. A lot of people confuse the agency with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which is under the Interior Department. Wildlife Services is under the USDA, and they operate under a program called APHIS, Animal Plant Health Inspection Service. And the bulk of what they do is, much of their program is in the West, the Intermountain West, American West, and that they go out and essentially indiscriminately kill predators. The vast, the lion's share of the animals they kill, which is approximately 100,000 predators a year, are animals that are out there just preying on native species. Coyotes, for example, prey on jackrabbits, mice, these types of things. And so what's been demonstrated over and over, much of what Wildlife Service has done is indiscriminately go out and through aerial gunning, setting traps, these types of things. And of course, with the M44, there's out of all the what they refer to as tools that they use, nothing's more indiscriminate than the M44. It essentially kills everything that comes in contact with it. Endangered species, California condors have been killed. Cattle, sheep have been killed. Deer. February 26, 2017, an endangered gray wolf was killed in northeastern Oregon. So there, you know, this has been the battle with these devices, and is that how absolutely indiscriminate they are.
Well, let's talk about one of the example cases, because Canyon Mansfield and his dog ran across one in Idaho, and what happened there?
Well, there were several cases within 3 weeks leading up to it. The wolf was killed in eastern Oregon in February of 2017, and several weeks later in Wyoming, two dogs were killed and several children were exposed to sodium cyanide in Wyoming. And then on March 16, 2017, Canyon Mansfield from Pocatello, Idaho, was up hiking above his house, just 300 yards above his house. And that he saw what he thought was a sprinkler head sticking out of the ground. He was with his dog, Casey. It's an area he used to go up to just kind of chill out and hang out. And he thought it was a sprinkler head. So he went over and investigated, and his dog followed him. And he touched it, and it ejected, and it hit him on his kind of his chest, and some of it got up into his face and his eye. And then the particles drifted over to his dog that was standing next to him, and his dog breathed it in some of the particles and proceeded to die right in front of Canyon. Canyon at that point began to rip his clothes off. He saw the orange powder all over him, and he started irrigating his eye with snow to try. His eye was burning from the sodium cyanide getting into his eye. What happened pretty much very quickly within that period, he started experiencing numbness in his hands and essentially an intense migraine headache that lasted for over a month. He was taken to the hospital, and that they basically gave him supportive care. But the fact that, you know, he barely survived the exposure. And to this day, over 2 years later, he still suffers severe migraine headaches. He vomits. And, of course, he suffers from post-traumatic stress syndrome from the whole episode, from watching his dog die a horrific death right in front of him. And this certainly hasn't been an isolated incident. It's happened many times before.
Was there any marking of what he thought was a sprinkler head to warn people away? Any sign nearby to warn people who can read?
No.
No?
No, there was no marking whatsoever. As a matter of fact, in Idaho at the time, they were operating under a what's called an environmental assessment, where legally they were not supposed to be putting M44s on public land. And the M44 he came across was on BLM land. No signs, nothing. Wildlife Services, M44s are registered through the EPA, and there's a what they call use directives that that Wildlife Services is supposed to follow. And one of the use directives is that areas where M44s are being used, the entrances to areas, roads, gates, these types of things, trails, are supposed to be plainly marked. And then the M44s themselves are supposed to have signs right next to them, within a few feet of them, warning anybody. Of course, children, dogs, endangered species don't read signs. And oftentimes people don't. What we have found in the decades that we've been working on this issue is that 90% of the time, the signs aren't there. And I've spoken to Wildlife Services trappers about this. And they often say, look, if we put signs up, we're advertising that these devices are there, and we don't want anybody tampering with them. And so we don't put the signs up. So we have found, again, in the vast majority of the cases that we have worked on, there's been no signs whatsoever. And, of course, these signs are required by law. This is actually required by a federal act under FIFRA, the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act. And Wildlife Services violates this act on a daily basis across the country.
We're talking about the M44 cyanide bombs, the likes of which the Oregon legislature just banned, and the governor signed a law that goes into effect next year. The signing was 2 weeks ago. Brooks Fahey pushed for the passage of the law in Oregon. He's executive director of Predator Defense based in Eugene. You're welcome to join our conversation. Give your thoughts on the use of this and other devices to keep predators away from livestock, for example. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Had other states banned M44s prior to Oregon's recent passage?
Yes, they have. In California, there was a trapping initiative in California back in 1998, which banned certain types of traps, but it also banned M44s. And then in 2000, Washington State also banned them. Right now, the only other state, there's two moratoriums, one in Colorado, which we several weeks after the Mansfield incident, we filed, along with several other conservation organizations, what's called an Administrative Procedures Act petition. And we filed that. We sent it to Wildlife Services. And to our astonishment, we asked them to immediately stop using M44s in the state until this case could be investigated and, you know, there'd be a review process. And to our amazement, they stopped using them. Right now, they can start using them anytime. They only have to give us 30 days notice. But there's also a moratorium in Colorado. And so I'm actually just returning from a film tour in Idaho, where we're hoping to basically either introduce a bill. The film tour is Lethal Control. It's a documentary about M44s basically, it goes over many of the people that we've helped over the years, survivors from M44s. It's a 52-minute documentary produced by a student from University of Montana. It was used for his master's defense, and it's a remarkable film. And we just screened that in Ketchum, Boise, and Pocatello, Idaho, and met with people and the media. It's our hope in Idaho that, first of all, that the moratorium stays in place, which it still is. They haven't given us 30 days notice. But we're going to hopefully introduce a bill in Idaho, or if that doesn't work out, we're going to go county by county for a ban in the state. And we've already targeted two counties, and we're working on that right now.
Well, what do you think the prospects are, given the very different composition of the Idaho legislature versus the Oregon legislature?
It's, you know, there's been an interesting shift that we feel like the Mansfield case was actually a tipping point. And we've been trying to get this introduced into the Oregon legislature for decades. But what was astounding in Oregon is how many people, how many state senators and representatives supported it. It was almost unanimous. The vote in the Senate was 25-3, and the vote in the House was 53-6. Idaho is different, but I'll tell you, from the audiences we met, there wasn't a person that didn't think it was a good idea to ban these devices there. So the composition of Idaho is changing. Boise is growing in leaps and bounds. The demographic is different than it was 10 years ago. So we're optimistic that we're going to make some inroads there. And then, of course, we're working with Congressman DeFazio and Senator Jeff Merkley. Congressman DeFazio introduced a bill on May 2nd called the Chemical Poisons Reduction Act of 2019. It's also known as Canyon's Law. And the same thing, Senator Merkley introduced a companion bill in the U.S. Senate, also known as Canyon's Law. So we're looking at it state by state, county by county, and also a national bill to ban M44s completely.
Brooks Fahey, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the cyanide bombs, M44s, as banned by the Oregon legislature and signed by the governor 2 weeks ago. That goes into effect January 1st of 2020. We're getting a little history lesson on M44s and similar control techniques for predators. He is the executive director of Predator Defense in Eugene. You can join our conversation here on the Exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone. Send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned a rather broad title on the proposed federal legislation. So would it ban only M44s, or is it a broader range of things that eject poisons?
There's another poison that we've been trying to ban for decades. It's called compound 1080. It's sodium fluoroacetate. Now, this was used in, again, the 40s and 50s by wildlife services. It was put into baits. Compound 1080 is the most toxic, dangerous poison on Earth. There's no antidote to it. It's water soluble. It's odorless. It's tasteless. And it was basically developed in Nazi Germany. And that it is so extraordinarily dangerous that it's hard to believe that Wildlife Services is using this. And it's used in what's called livestock protection collars, LPCs. And theoretically, these collars are put on the sheep and put out in pastures. And that if a coyote attacks one of those sheep and then bites in, the collar is strapped around their neck and it has a rubber bladder on each side. And theoretically, that the coyote bites into the bladder, that liquid poison then basically leaches into the animal's gum. And then the animal, over a period from anywhere from a half hour to several hours, dies. And 1080, again, there's no antidote to it. It is an extraordinarily gruesome way to die. Scientists say it's the most painful way you could die. It's just, again, it's astounding to believe that they're using this poison. The FBI and our government have been concerned for decades about its use as a tool for terrorists to put in the water systems. And that Wildlife Services, again, when these poisons were brought back during the Reagan administration, repackaged it to be used in these collars. The interesting thing is that Wildlife Services only kills about 25 to 50 coyotes a year with these collars. And essentially, they were really a way of just keeping the registration active through the EPA on this poison. They're not used widely. The oversight to using them is incredibly intense. And they're also, what we have found through records through Wildlife Services, they're constantly caught on barbed wire fencing, blackberry bushes, and the poison leak into the environment. Again, this is a poison that was banned during the Nixon administration because of its long documented history of getting into the food chain to where animals that were poisoned by it another animal would come feed off of that animal, that animal would die, and then another animal would feed off of that animal, and that animal would die.
Mm.
Extraordinarily dangerous poison.
So, Brooks, I mean, I'm certain that these are, well, I'm not certain, but I'm guessing that things like M44s and the kill collars are last resorts for people who are frustrated that they're not having any effect to keep predators away from livestock. What do you say back to people who say, hey, look, we've tried everything else?
Their records simply don't demonstrate that. What happens is you'll have wildlife services trappers that go out, and every year they have to get a signed agreement from the cooperator. It's called a cooperative agreement, and to do basically prophylactic predator control. You don't have to be experiencing any loss of livestock whatsoever to predators. They just basically put them out to sterilize an area of predators. And so there's no requirement that you're actually experiencing any losses. You can say, my great granddaddy lost several sheep here 10 years ago because of coyotes. There's no verification of that whatsoever. They take you at your word. And so it's this kind of old buddy program that again, it's day. This is an archaic program whose day has passed. What's interesting about this issue, and there's hardly a month that goes by now without a new research paper, published peer-reviewed papers coming out, showing that this type of lethal predator control simply doesn't work. And there's no better example than the coyote. Wildlife Services kills anywhere from 75 to 85,000 coyotes a year through lethal methods.
Hmm.
Most of those coyotes aren't preying on livestock. And what science has shown us for decades now is that this indiscriminate control of these animals actually creates a situation where they actually breed more and have larger litters.
Wow, so a nature rebalance in effect. So, yeah, it's interesting stuff going on here. M44 is banned in Oregon as of January 1st, 2020. Brooks Fahey, the Executive Director of Predator Defense, pushed for that ban. Brooks, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.